All right. Good morning, brethren. Let's turn in our Bibles to John 14. You know, brethren, we serve a very gracious Redeemer, a very gracious God. You know how when you receive news that someone you love is about to die and depart out of this world, you know how heartbreaking that is. It just, your heart sinks down to your stomach. There's a void, there's an aching, and it's aptly called a broken heart. It's really heartbreaking. Now you think about how that news breaks your heart. How it really breaks your heart. That's what the apostles felt like that night when our Lord declared to them that he was about to be betrayed, and that he was going to be arrested, that he was going to the cross, that he was going to die and depart and be with the Father. This is what they felt. This is the heartbreak they felt that night. Our Lord told them, and he told them many times, but they really thought he was going to stay with them visibly, bodily, and how much they had benefited from his bodily presence. He called them. Remember, they had experienced the power of his word, the words of eternal life. They left all and followed him. They had been taught of him. Every question they had, he answered it. He had provided for them the whole time, worked great miracles before their eyes and fed them and provided for them. He stilled the wind and the waves for them. He protected them from the scribes and the Pharisees. They despised the Lord, and they despised his apostles because they despised the Lord, because of their association with him. And now they're being told the Lord is no longer going to be with them bodily. They're going to be left as sheep for the slaughter, they think. And all the hope they had, they thought he was going to restore the kingdom like it was in David's day. They thought he was going to deliver them from Roman rule. They were under the rule of the Romans. They thought he would deliver them from that. And in addition to being their salvation, but there was so much that they looked upon and depended upon because of what they saw, seeing him physically, bodily, naturally. And so to hear him, that he's going to die and depart, they were so troubled. It, just like you would be if you heard someone you dearly love is about to die and depart. They were filled with grief. You think about it, the way that makes us feel, and you put yourself in their shoes that night. And our Lord was so gracious. He's so gracious. His word here and everything he's saying to them was to comfort them. It would have been cruel to you know, accuse them of not believing him and laying some heavy burden on them when their heart was already broken. But he's comforting them. He's comforting them. And listen to what he says here. He knew their heart, and he said in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He's not doubting their love. He put it in their heart. He's appealing to their love. He's saying to them, "I know you love me. And since you love me, you keep my command. You continue believing me." You know, he said, "Believe me," over and over. "Believe me. Believe me for the work's sake. Continue with your brethren. Continue washing one another's feet. Continue bearing one another's burden, continue helping one another to remember these things that I'm telling you. And he said, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. The margin says orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, though our Lord Jesus is not here bodily, though he's not here bodily, he does abide with his people. He's not left us as comfortless orphans. The Holy Father and the Son abide with his people continually, and that's by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our triune God is the comforter of his people. Our triune God is the comforter of his people. All three persons are one in comforting his people. He said in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of the truth. Someone said, the believer has two comforters. Truth is, the believer has three comforters. And they're all one. They're all one. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is our comforter. That's why he says here, I'll give you another comforter. He had been their comfort. And he is the comforter of his people. For 3 years, they had been with him, and he had been their comforter. But his presence won't be with them anymore, but he never leaves those he has redeemed, those he's the surety for. He does not leave. He said in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, he said. And then two, he promised to send another comforter. That's the Spirit of God. Another meaning one who would be the comforter of his people, even as Christ had been the comforter of his people. The Holy Spirit never leaves, though he regenerates. He said there in verse 17, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And we have another comforter, God our Father. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The Father purposed everything in salvation, who he would save, Christ who would do the saving, and how we would be saved through the Spirit, through the Word. And so everything that our Lord Jesus is promising here, the Father is all a part of it. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God is one God, and not three gods, just one God in three distinct persons. Three distinct persons, and all are involved in salvation. All three persons. This one God is involved in all three persons. Although they have a distinct work they each do, they're all one in the salvation of his people, and they're one in the comfort of his people. Look at verse 16 again. You see all three. I will pray. There's God the Son. I will pray the Father, there's God the Father, and he shall give another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, there's the Holy Spirit. All three persons in the Godhead are involved in comforting his people. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And each one, just as though they perform distinct works, but they're all one in those works. Each one is performing the works the other one's performing, and they're all performing the works to save his people and keep his people comforted. I want to just read this to you again, down through these verses, and notice how the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are involved in each verse here. Look at verse 19. He said, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And how would they know this? By the Spirit of God. So you have Father, Son, and Spirit. They're comforting his people, making us to know. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And he manifests himself through the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, Judas said to him, not Iscariot, he said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. We will come unto him. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. This is by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. He declared the promise of the Comforter. This promise he's given and what he was going to do. He's promising, this is not only my word. It's not only what the Spirit of God's going to make you to know. He said, this is the word of my Father. Look there at the second part of verse 24. And the word which you hear, and he's talking about everything he said here, including the comfort that he's giving. It's not my word, but the Father's which sent me. See, he's including the Father as one involved here in this comforting. All three persons. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So our one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three persons are the comforter of his people. They all get the glory for saving us, and they get the glory for being the comforter, our one triune God. And the comfort, now what is the comfort? Why is the Spirit called the comforter? Because he's the advocate and the intercessor within us. He's the advocate and intercessor within us. The Spirit takes up dwelling in us in regeneration, permanent dwelling in us in regeneration. And he's the advocate and the intercessor who causes us to look out of ourselves and sets our affection on the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. He's the advocate within, that the intercessor within. You can read that in Romans 8. He makes intercession for us with words that can't be uttered, causing us to look out of ourselves and depend on Christ and come to Christ and look to Christ. We can't even pray without God. And it's by the Spirit of God as the comforter and the advocate and the intercessor within us. And he's the comforter because when he causes us to look away from ourselves and all the wind and the waves and the troubles, he causes us to look to Christ at God's right hand, who is our advocate with the Father in glory. So you have the comfort within and the comfort at God's right hand, and all of this being of God the Father. All of God the Father. And the comfort is knowing this. When we see Christ, and we do. We see Christ. The comfort is knowing that when he went to that cross, he didn't try to do something for his people. He accomplished what he went there to accomplish. He absolutely, thoroughly put away the sin of his people. When you see our Lord Jesus Christ go into the tomb and be buried, see yourself, your body of sin, buried forever. He has died, he's buried before the tribunal of God, before his judgment seat. He's dead, he's buried. Justice has been poured out to the full. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when you see him go to the Father and sit down at God's right hand, see yourself ascending to the Father, seated there with him, accepted in the Beloved, perfectly righteous, in Christ Jesus your Lord. This is the comfort he gives us. The comfort is the same comfort he gave you when he first called you, and that is to behold Christ is your salvation. This is what he comforts his people with. The Spirit doesn't bring his child into bondage again. He doesn't bring us into bondage again. God is love. And John, repeating what the Lord says here, said, perfect love casteth out fear. When he fills us, when the Holy Spirit spreads abroad in our hearts the love of God, he casts out fear. He casts out, it's not bondage. It's not bondage. Christ said there in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace he gives us is that he has accomplished peace for his people with God. We have peace with God in Christ. Look over at Romans 8 and again see that all three persons in the Godhead are involved in this. Romans 8, verse 15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's the Spirit and there's the Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. There's all three, the Spirit, the Father, and our Lord Jesus. He brought us into this relationship of children. Not servants, not in bondage, not fearful, children. And he says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And here's how we're going to suffer with him. Same way you believed on him when he first came to you. Same way you've been preserved to believe on him up till now. This is how we're going to endure suffering. The Holy Spirit interceding within, being our advocate within, turning us to Christ our advocate at the right hand of the Father, and making us see the Father accepts us in Christ and we have peace with God. That's how you're going to endure suffering. Now, secondly, not only is our Lord, all three persons in the Godhead, involved in this comfort. Secondly, we shall be comforted as long as we walk this earth because the Holy Spirit shall never be taken from one in whom he abides. Never. Verse 16, he said that he may abide with you forever. John 14:16. That he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, he says, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The world cannot receive the Spirit nor the things he teaches, because natural man only believes what he can see with natural eyes. That's what he said right there. He says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. The world does not, with the world, seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. Seeing with carnal eyes, natural eyes. This is why the world's religion has to have lots of things men can see and touch and feel, and, you know, stained glass windows and fleshly music to appeal to the flesh, and all sorts of activities and ceremonies, things you can see, things that really move the flesh. In that natural state, a sinner cannot receive the things of the Spirit. He cannot. He said there in verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, not only will not, but cannot. But the Spirit of God thankfully, is irresistible like the wind. And though we could not believe, he makes us believe. He gives you a new heart, he gives you faith, and gives you a new will. So that seeing by faith, what can't be seen with the natural eye, this is what you see, this is what you know. And that's what our Lord said, you know him, you know him. For he dwelleth with you. He dwelleth with you. The Holy Spirit, it was manifest on the day of Pentecost when the Lord poured out the Spirit and saved that great multitude. But the Spirit of God has always been the one who causes life in his people and makes us believe God. He said, he dwelleth with you. He dwelleth with you. He makes us know the truth. He's the Spirit of the truth. He makes us know the truth. He makes us know that we are ruined sinners, entirely incapable of saving ourselves, entirely incapable of doing anything that's going to make us perfectly accepted with God. And he makes you see that this acceptance and every need we have is Christ. Is Christ. Full provision, our Lord Jesus. He makes you know this. Look at John 16:12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You see, this thing of salvation is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It's of the Father and the Son, and it's made known in our hearts by the Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to make you know the truth, and he makes us rejoice in the truth. He makes us rejoice. When you see that the works were finished from the foundation of the world, when you read Romans 8, you know, and you see what all the Lord purpose there. He says he works all things together for the good of them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And then everything he lists there is all of God. And everything he lists there is beginning to end salvation. Whom he did foreknow, that's where it begins, with the love of God, knowing his people, loving his people, ordaining his people. Whom he did foreknow, them he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son might get all the glory, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If we believe, if we've been created anew in heart so that we're conformed to the image of Christ, it's because God predestinated from the beginning. And whom he predestinated, them he also called. He called us. And them he also justified. And them he also glorified. It's all of God. This is what the Spirit of God teaches us. So that the conclusion is this. And what a great conclusion it is. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is the Spirit of the truth that Christ reveals in us. And when he makes you know that redemption has been accomplished, he's purchased you from under the curse and condemnation of the law, he makes us stop trying to act out these dead works to try to make a righteousness for ourselves. He says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And this is what he is to every child of God who the Spirit gives faith. Because you believe him. You believe him. And he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And he makes us to know him as our sanctification. He takes the blood of Christ and he purges our conscience from those dead works, from our sin, from our either trying to come to God by our self-righteous works or for thinking that we're any less sinful than we are. And he makes you see He is all your sanctification. It is by his blood purging the conscience, giving you a new heart, that we're made to look to him and live to him, to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And when you find yourself cleaving to that which is evil, he still comes in his spirit and purges your conscience and keeps you cleaving to him that is good. And he makes you know, you find through your own painful experience and your sorrowful trouble and backsliding, you find out, if the Lord wasn't my sanctifier and my sanctification keeping us, we would fall. We would fall away. But he's that hedge about his people. He's that hedge about our new man within us that's keeping us looking to him and trusting him, our sanctification. And the world, Lord makes you to know, and when you know, truly know, that when you know he's doing this work in you, and he has done this in you, and he continues to do this in you, that's how we know he's the master, and he will do the same work in our brethren. And so when our Lord tells us to believe him, to keep his command, believe me and love one another, involved in that is just like he just kept speaking of what he would do for them. And that's what he's going to use us to do, to keep reminding one another of the great things God has done for us and continues to do for us, and pray for one another and trust our Lord to make our brethren stand. And that's what he will do. He will make his people stand. He will. Go over to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. I love how that when you read all of the different apostles, they all speak the same word because it's the same comforter. It's the same spirit teaching them. And they all are taught exactly what Christ... This section of scripture in John 13 and 14 and 15... Through that part there, right before he went to the cross, is so vital because it is over and over repeated by the apostles. It's just almost word for word. Look here, the apostle Paul, he was an apostle. He was taught of the Lord, though he was taught from heaven. And this shows you, too, that the Spirit of God is the teacher, and Christ has not left us, and the Father's not left us, because he did this work for Paul after he had ascended to the Father. Look at what Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely given, no cost to us, the great, great, great cost to our Redeemer, the great cost to our Father who gave his only begotten Son for his people. But freely given to us, which things also we speak, which also we speak. This is the dunamis. This is the power of God, the gospel. And we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We look at one verse of Scripture, we go to another verse of Scripture, we go to another verse of Scripture, and we look at what the Lord has spoken and he's recorded in his Word through the Holy Spirit throughout the Word, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Where'd Paul get that? He got it from Christ. That's just what Christ said that night. But he that is spiritual judgeth, he discerneth all things. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. He discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged, he's discerned of no man. The world don't understand or understand what the Lord's people, why they don't get why you like to come here and hear the gospel preached. They can't understand, why do you want to hear somebody say you're a sinner? Not judged of men, not discerned of men, For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is what our Lord's promising his people through the Spirit, to give you discernment, true judgment, to be able to look to Christ and see Christ and know Christ and believe on Christ and continue in him and to love him and love one another because he's given you his mind. And so our Redeemer, go to Ephesians 1. Our Redeemer's not going to depart. He's not going to depart from us, and he's not going to take the Spirit from his child. Ephesians 1:13. He's regenerated us, and he has given us the faith to believe, and he sealed us. And the Spirit of God continuing to teach us in our heart. Just like Paul said in Romans 8, hereby we know we're the children of God, by his Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, with the Spirit he's given us. Hereby we know. And so he's a foretaste. The Spirit of promise is, he's a foretaste. He's an earnest that makes us sure of glory that will be kept by our Lord. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until he comes and redeems us out of this world. He already purchased us. We're already his possession, all his people. And this is the earnest, the Spirit of promise is the earnest until the redemption of the purchased possession, and it's all unto the praise of his glory. And so when Paul tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit, you know, our Lord, this is something that, and I'm going to try to preach on this later, but our Lord that night, when they were broken, this was their infirmities, their weakness. And the scripture says he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He experienced those weaknesses himself because he was flesh. But he's also touched with when we're brokenhearted. He's brokenhearted. And so the same way, when we're not walking as we ought, it's grievous. It's grievous to the Holy Spirit. And so he tells us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If you need the Spirit of God and you need the Lord to strengthen you, and you do, go to him. Go to him and beg him for mercy. Beg him to give you a double portion of the Spirit, to strengthen you, to be your strength, to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man. That new man is created after the image of Christ, so that you walk before him, obey him, and keep his commandments. This is not grievous to us when the Spirit of God has created us anew. You want to. What's grievous to us is when we don't obey our Lord. That's what's grievous. That's what breaks your heart. And trust him, look to him, and help one another look to him. He won't, but this is the assurance that he gives us. Every believer knows this. If he was going to take the Holy Spirit from us, you who believe, you could say this. He'd already done it. Is that not so? Every one of us could say that. Because at some point, we've grieved him. But he's not going to take the Spirit from those that he everlastingly loved. He's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. You know, it's just like our children. I'm going to get into my next message. It's just like our children, though. You know, you give them space to correct themselves and obey you. And if they don't, then you correct them. And that's what the Lord's going to do. And it might be grievous. It might be painful. But he will do it because he's not going to lose. His people cost him too dearly. Cost him too dearly. His glory's behind it. His glory is connected with our salvation. The glory of his Son is united with our salvation. And we're the fullness of his body. His body won't be complete if he loses one he everlastingly loves. So he's not going to lose one. When our Lord says here, those that love him will keep his word, that's a certainty, because he's going to see to it. He's going to see to it. So this is the last thing, and I'm just one little saying here, but since the Spirit, the Father, and the Lord Jesus are one, this is how our Lord Jesus continues to come to us. He said there in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I won't leave you orphans. He told them there in verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. You see him. You sitting here today, you see him. The world doesn't see him, but you see him. You see him by faith. Because he lives, you live also. And at that day, when the Spirit comes, and the Spirit's our teacher, and this could be said when he first gave you the Spirit, and it's said throughout our walk through this world, when he turns you, in that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. You know this union you have that will not be broken. So, sinner, the things that are seen are temporary. Everything we see is temporary. Things that are unseen, that's eternal, spiritual. These are the things. We've received a kingdom that cannot be moved. It's eternal. It's all the creation of our Lord Jesus. Do you know and believe that he alone is your only righteousness? Has he given you this peace that only he can give, to know you accepted in him and you're complete in him, and that he'll never leave you nor forsake you? That's by him praying the Father, and on Christ's behalf, because the Father is pleased with him and he's pleased with his people in Christ, he has sent the Spirit to you and taught you this good news. And our Lord promises, he himself, his Father, and the Spirit, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what they needed to hear that night. That's what I need to hear. Isn't that what you need to hear? That's the comfort. We have a Savior who's loved us before we ever knew him, and he's going to continue to keep us and save us. Let's go to him. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for comforting your apostles that night and continuing to comfort us today with the same word. We thank you for praying the Father, and thank you, Father, for sending the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you've never left us, that you continue to keep us and preserve us. Thankful that you're able to overcome our flesh and our unbelief and our sin, and able to give us faith and keep us looking to you. Lord, we ask you to work this in us. Continue to do so. Continue to give us your Spirit. We ask, Lord, for more of your Spirit. We ask you to revive us. We ask you, Lord, to make Christ so precious to us that we want to honor him more and more, and give us that grace, Lord, to do so more abundantly, to believe so faithfully that we're willing to forsake all, and to love so abundantly that our love for you and our love for our brethren appears like hatred for every other person. Make us love that strongly and that deeply. Lord, we are so troubled. We are so apt to stumble and apt to be full of doubts and fears, just like the apostles that night. Thank you, Lord, that you remember we are dust. Thank you for remembering what we are. And Lord, we're so thankful you're touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Everything we have, We owe it to you. Everything we are, by your grace, we owe it all to you. Oh, Lord, how we thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. Help us to do so more in our actions and what we say and do. And Lord, thank you for forgiving us where we failed. Thank you for blotting out our transgressions. Lord, we ask you, make your presence known with us here today. Wherever your gospel is preached, Lord, be there with your people and speak into each heart. We're ever dependent on you. Thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and mercy. These things freely given to us. All in Christ, all in that perfect, our perfect Redeemer, your glorious Son. Lord, we can't thank you enough. We could stay here all day thanking you for the blessings you've given us. You know, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.